We're at the very top of Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Yesterday we learned the Mishnah which discussed the case where somebody had written a gift document gifting away all of his properties to some recipients. But the person who wrote this gift document claims that it doesn't mean he has to hand over his properties because he claims he was a Shchiv Meira, he was seriously ill at the time that he authorized that he wrote this gift document. And he says, now I feel all better. And therefore, we know, of course, that if a Shchiv Meira gives away everything and then recovers, the halacha is, the gift is null and void. That's what the benefactor, the giver, claims. The recipients claim, not true. You were not a Shchiv Meira at the time that you wrote this gift document. And of course, there's no clear indication from the language of the document as to what the real story is. He doesn't say, of course, that he was a Shchiv Meira at the time. So it's the benefactor's word against the recipient's word. So what is the halacha? And the Mishnah brought a dispute about the halacha between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir said that the recipient wins the case, and the Chachamim said that this benefactor wins the case. He doesn't have to hand over the properties. More specifically, Rabbi Meir said, in order to keep his properties, this benefactor would have to bring proof to his claim that he was a Shchiv Meira at the time that he authorized the gift. Without such proof, he has to hand over the properties, whereas the Chachamim say that we rule in favor of the benefactor, and we say, regarding the recipients named in the gift document, that it is upon them to bring proof if they want to successfully claim these properties. Our Gemara today begins with a basic question about the Chachamim's opinion, which is, Raya b'mai. What kind of a proof exactly would the recipients in the gift document have to procure to win the properties? The Gemara brings a dispute on this question, and how you answer this question will imply, you know, very different readings of the Mishnah. So let's see, Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, Raya b'edim. In order to win the properties, the recipients would have to bring witnesses who could testify that, in fact, the benefactor was perfectly healthy at the time he authorized this gift. In the absence of any such proof, we're going to assume, like the benefactor, we're going to have to reckon with his claim that, oh, I was a Shchiv Meira at the time, so this is not a valid gift anymore. However, Rav Chista v'Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amri, Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna said, that's not what the Chachamim mean in the Mishnah. Rather, they're saying, Raya b'kiyum hashtar. The Chachamim in the Mishnah are not requiring the recipient in the gift document to prove that the benefactor was healthy at the time that he gave this gift, but rather, all the recipient has to do to win the properties is verify the gift document. That is, verify the authenticity of the signatures in the gift document. Once the document is certified, and the recipient in the gift document will be able to claim the properties. The properties are his. The Gemara elaborates, Rav Huna Amar Raya Be'edim. Rav Huna is understanding that the Chacham and the Mishnah mean that the recipient in the document can only win if he brings witnesses that testify that the benefactor was healthy at the time that he gave this gift. And meaning, the way Rav Huna understands the dispute in our Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is that Kemiflagi b'plukta the Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nasan. Their dispute parallels the dispute we learned yesterday in the Braisa between Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Nasan, who argued about this question. When you have, you know, it's the benefactor's word against the recipient's word, the benefactor says, I was a Shchiv Meira at the time, the recipient says, no, you weren't, you were healthy. And the situation in that dispute is that right now, the benefactor is healthy. Rabbi Nasan in the Braisa said, that since right now, this person is healthy, we assume that he was healthy previously also. And therefore, the burden of proof would be upon him, the benefactor, to prove that really he was a Shchiv Meira at the time. And if he can't prove that, the property goes to the recipient in the gift document. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov said, that since we know that previously this benefactor was the owner, of course, of his properties, now we have a question. Maybe he issued a gift in such a way that it transferred those properties to this recipient, but maybe not, because maybe, like he's saying, maybe he was a Shchiv Meira at the time. We therefore emphasize the previously known status. And so our assumption is that this was not a valid gift because he was a Shchiv Meira at the time. So the Gemara explains, according to Rav Huna's understanding of the Chachamim, their dispute exactly parallels the dispute of Nasan and Rabbi Yaakov, that is, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Meir, when the Mishnah says and the burden of proof is on the benefactor to prove he was sick at the time he issued the gift, lines up with Rabbi Nassim's view that, again, as the case is that right now the benefactor is perfectly healthy. So Rabbi Meir says, like Rabbi Nassim, that we assume he was healthy previously also when he authorized the gift. So he's going to have to prove otherwise if he wants to keep the property. Whereas V'Rabbanan, Rav Huna's Rabbanan, who say, no, the recipient has to prove that this person was not sick at the time he gave the gift. The recipient has the burden of proof. Is Rabbi Yaakov. The Rabbanan, according to this, line up with the opinion yesterday of Rabbi Yaakov, who again says we emphasize the previously known status rather than the currently known status. Namely, again, that since we know this benefactor was the owner of his property, now there's a question, maybe somebody else became the owner. Our assumption is that the previously known owner still is the owner unless we know otherwise, and therefore this recipient would have to prove that the benefactor was healthy at the time, and then he could claim the property. That's according to Rav Huna's reading of the Chachamim. The Gemara now explains, Rav Chista v'Rabba bar Rav Huna Amri Raya b'kiyum mashtar. They're understanding that the Chachamim in our Mishnah are not requiring the recipient to prove that the benefactor was not Eshchiv Meira at the time, that he was healthy at the time. No, they don't have to prove that. Because according to them, everyone agrees that we don't really believe this benefactor. Rather, the assumption is that since right now this benefactor is perfectly healthy, we assume he was in the same condition earlier. There's no debate on that point, according to Rav Chista and Rabba bar Rav Huna. Rather, the Chachamim are saying that there's a document problem for the recipient. So what does that mean? The Gemara explains, K'miflugi b'mode b'shtar shekosvo tzarech l'kaimo. You know what this dispute between the Mer and the Chacham and the Mishnah is really about? It's about a general question that we have, which is, how does it work in a case where the person named in a document becomes liable according to that document, like over here? According to the document, this person has to give over his properties. How does it work if that person himself agrees that the document is valid, but then raises some issue, some other factor which would exempt him from payment? Now, it's a case where normally, just by raising that issue, by making that claim, it wouldn't impact the case. We wouldn't believe him. He has no evidence to that claim. But since we're kind of like relying on his admission to the validity of the document, the only reason why we have verification that this is a valid document is because the liable party himself admitted that it's a valid document. That fact could potentially now put this person in a position where we do listen to him. And if he says, let's say, oh, it's a shchibmer at the time, now we got a problem. As the Gemara explains, here are the opinions. The Rabbi Meir Savar, the Meir in our Mishnah holds, Modi Bishtar Shikasvo, Eino Tzarch Lekaimo. Once the liable party in a document admits, yeah, this document is valid, I agree, it's a valid document, let's say, he is the borrower in the document. The document says he owes money, he borrowed money, and the borrower admits that this is a valid document, but then continues that, well, but I paid it already. Or adds some other kind of information that, again, normally he's not believed to say, but he's now coupling it together with his admission that it's a valid document. Says Rabbi Meir, we're not impressed. Fact is, once he admits that this is a valid document, the borrower is finished. It's a valid document. And just like if we independently had verified the document, that it wouldn't help for the borrower to say, oh, I paid back the money already. It doesn't matter. Once it's a valid document, it says you borrowed the money and it's in the lender's hand, you have to pay. The same thing if the borrower himself verified the document. And that's it. The lender simply wins. He collects his money. So too over here. Rimeir is saying, as soon as the words come out of this person's mouth, that yes, I did write this document, that's it. It's a valid document, and the recipient named in the document keeps the property. Even though the benefactor hasn't finished his speech, he says, well, but I don't own this property because I was a shchimer at the time. Those additional words don't concern us. We don't have to pay attention to those words because everybody agrees with Rabbi Nassim that if right now this person is healthy, we assume he was healthy previously also when he gave this gift. So the mayor says the recipient simply wins, unless, of course, the benefactor could somehow prove that he was seriously ill at the time that he authorized the gift. Like if he brings witnesses who testify about that, then that's something else. So that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbanan Savri, but the Rabbanan hold. In the Rabbanan's opinion, according to Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, when the source for the verification of the document comes from the liable party himself, that's the only basis that we have that this is a valid document, then we have to listen to the liable party. If he has more to say here, he says, yes, it's a valid document, but it doesn't mean I owe this property, because he says I was a shchimera at the time I wrote the document, and we do have to reckon with that. We can't ignore the second part. The principle here is called hapesh asar, the mouth that was asar, meaning made a problem for itself. Hu hapesh shehitir, that same mouth had more to say. Meaning that since at this point at least, the only way we know that this is a valid document, maybe this whole thing is a forgery, our only source that it's a valid document is from this pet, this person, the benefactor, who admitted it's a valid shtar. We therefore have to listen to what he goes on to say, which is, yeah, it's a good shtar, but I don't know the money, I don't know the property, I was a shchimer at the time, and now I feel better. Therefore, what do the Rabbanan and the Mishnah say? They say that if this recipient wants to win the property, he would simply have to independently verify the document. If he can independently verify the document, then there goes the Pesh Aser logic. And the whole logic is, if I'm the one who verified the shtar, then you have to listen to me when I say that there's some reason that I don't actually owe this money. That strength completely disappears, of course, if we have independent evidence that this is a valid document. Then it's simply a case where the document's for sure valid. It says that this person gifted his properties to this other person. And if the benefactor wants to say, well, he was a shchimer at the time, to that we say that's not a believable claim. Because again, in this understanding, everybody agrees with the Rinasan's view that we go by the current status. If currently he's fine and healthy, then we assume that was his condition earlier as well when he gave the gift. And therefore, once the document is independently verified, the Chum say, okay, now the recipient can take the property. The Gemara has a question on this last reading of the Mishnah, of Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, which is that v'ha efligu bo chad zimna. If that's the dispute in our Mishnah, if it comes down to this question of whether if the person who's verifying the document then says there's a reason why the money is still not owed, do we have to listen to the second part of the speech? Rabbi Meir says no, and the Chachamim say yes. The Gemara points out that seemingly why do we need our Mishnah to teach this dispute? Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim already had this dispute in a different context. It is in a Braisa de Tanya. The Braisa says, let's say you have a case where two witnesses testify, yes, this is a valid document, but he doesn't owe the money because, for example, they claim that, you know, yes, these are our signatures, but we were minors at the time that we gave these signatures. And so that would undermine the document. The Braisa discusses, you know, do we have to believe the second part of what they say? Or do we say, no, as soon as they verify the signatures, that's it. It's a valid document, and we don't have to concern ourselves with any other information. Because once it's a good document, you know, a document is a document. In general, when you have a verified document, there is a very strong assumption that everything is fine with the document. But the only question is, since they were the ones who provided the verification, maybe we have to listen to them about this problem, this issue they're raising, that, well, no, we were minors at the time we signed. So the Braisa says it's a dispute between Meir and the Chachamim. The opinions are, opinion number one is, a neman lepos lo, the Rabbi Meir says, once the witnesses have informed us that these are their signatures, that's it. Now the halacha takes over, and the halacha says this is a valid shtar. We don't have to listen to anything else. A valid shtar is a valid shtar. Whereas, v'chachamim omrim nemanim, chachamim say no. Since these witnesses were the ones that verified the documents, we have to listen to the rest of their speech, this other information they're reporting, that they were not qualified, let's say, to sign at the time, and therefore the whole thing is not valid. Chachamim say we have to listen to them, because this peh that's us here, this peh that, you know, verified the shtar and would make this person liable to pay was also hitir. Then went on to say that in fact the document does not make the person liable to pay because, again, let's say for example they say we were minors at the time we signed. So the Gemara is asking, this is an old dispute, we already had this dispute, so it seems questionable. And if Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, that Amar Nacham would have this dispute all over again in our Mishnah. The Gemara answer is no. In fact, there is a new point that we learn in the specific context of each source of, you know, the Mishnah and the Braisa, Tzricha. Both cases, both instances of the dispute are needed. The Iyit Marai, if we only had the dispute in the context of the Braisa, which deals with where the witnesses who signed themselves say, actually, our signatures are not valid, I might have said as follows, V'ahi kamri Rabbanon. In that case, the Rabbanon say, we got a problem. If the witnesses who signed say that really the signatures are not valid, then we have an issue. Then we can't validate this document unless we have independent evidence that it's valid. Mishum da'alimi edim umari shtara. Because there you're talking about the witnesses themselves who invalidate the document. So we can't ignore that. That's a problem. Aval hacha. But if you're in our case, who? The lav kol kamine. Where we're talking about the liable party in the document, the benefactor of this gift, who is trying to undermine the document, he's claiming that he was a shchemira at the time, so that I don't have to give over this property. Could very well be that the Rabbanah would say, lav kol kamine, he has no power to invalidate the document. He's not two witnesses. He's not the witnesses of the document itself. Therefore, Amalo, I could have argued that the Rabbanan would say that his words have no effect here, and we simply award the property to the recipient in the document. Once this person agrees it's a valid document, that's it. It doesn't matter that he's suggesting it was a shchimer at the time. We simply give the property to the recipient. Therefore, we needed our mission to teach us that, in fact, the Rabbanan hold that even where it's simply the benefactor saying that, yes, it's a good document, but it's no good because I was a shchimer at the time. I don't have to give the property. We actually do have to take that seriously because of the logic mentioned earlier of a peshasru ha peshahitir. This mouth that validated the document is also saying that he doesn't owe the money. So until the recipient can find independent verification of the document, he will not have to hand over the property. The Gemara explains further, like now, why don't you just teach the Mishnah's case, and why do you need the Braisa's case? The Gemara explains, v'iyat mar beha. If we only had our Mishnah's case of the dispute, I might have said, Baha ka'amar Rabbi Meir. Perhaps it's only in the Mishnah's case where it's merely the benefactor who is trying to challenge the document. Rabbi Meir says we don't have to pay attention to that. Rather, once it's a valid document, then we assume everything is fine, it's a document, and this person can't discredit the document. Aval Bahach. But in the case of the Braisa, where it's not merely the liable party in the document is raising the issue, it is the witnesses themselves who signed in the document. And therefore, Ema Moda Lul Rabbanan, perhaps in this case, Rabbi Meir agrees with the Rabbanan that we now have a problem. And maybe he should not be able to collect with this document until we have independent verification of the signatures. Therefore, the Braisa teaches us that, in fact, Rabbi Meir says, even when the witnesses themselves raise an issue, the halacha is that as soon as the witnesses say this is a valid document, there is a halachic presumption that documents in general are done properly. It's not likely at all that somebody would, you know, disqualified would sign on a document. And so we can simply ignore the rest of their speech that, oh, there's a problem here, we were disqualified. And in fact, the mayor holds that document is valid. So hence we see tzricha, why both cases, the Mishnah and the Braisa, were necessary. The Gemara now brings an ally for Rav Huna's reading of the Chachamim in our Mishnah. The Chenam of Rabba. Rabba said, just like Rav Huna, that when the Chachamim and the Mishnah say that the burden of proof is upon the recipient if he wants to claim this property, what proof must he bring? Raya be'edim. He has to bring witnesses that could testify that the benefactor was healthy at the time that he authorized this gift. Just like Rav Huna said above. In this interpretation, the Gemara probes the exact rationale of the Chachamim's position. According to this reading of the Mishnah, why did the Rabbanan say that the recipient has the burden of proof to prove that this benefactor was healthy at the time he gave the gift? The Gemara suggests and then rejects one possible understanding. It says, Inam, if we say that the Rabbanan's reasoning is maybe their argument is that since in general to make clear that a certain document is a document of a regular healthy person that is, you know, irrevocable, nothing to do with, it's not tied with, not conditional on his death, the document would typically say the words that he wrote this document while he was up and about, he was on his feet in the shuk, he was out in the street, he was perfectly fine and healthy when he gave this document. The document that our Mishnah discusses, of course, does not have such a language. It doesn't specifically say that he was healthy at the time. So maybe the Rabbanan say, Shma mina shchiv mi rahave. We deduce from that that, so apparently, he was not healthy at the time. He was seriously ill at the time. And that, therefore, supports the benefactor's claim that I don't owe this property because at the time I was ill and now I feel better, so I don't have to give the property. The Gemara says that can't be the logic of the Rabbanan. For Adraba, you could argue just the opposite as well. Namely, from the fact that typically in the document of a matnas shchiv mira, if someone is seriously ill when he's giving the gift, the standard language is katkatsi v'rami v'arse, that he agreed to give this gift while he was sick and lying in bed. This document did not have such a language, shmamina bariavi. So this would indicate that the opposite, that the benefactor was healthy at the time, which would support the claim of the recipients. So why did the Rabbanan say that the recipients have the burden of proof? But the Gemara now explains the Chum's position, is what they're saying. What do we have here? Ikka lemei marhachi v'ikka lemei marhachi. You could say like this, you could say like that, meaning there is no clear indication one way or the other in this document. The Rabbanan's opinion, when we're not sure what to do, what do we say? We fall back on the classic rule of uki memona becheskas mare. We establish the ownership of the disputed money by the person who was the previously known owner, which of course is the benefactor. And so, the halacha is that the benefactor keeps the property unless the recipient can prove that, no, the benefactor was not ill at the time, he was healthy at the time. Meaning the Rabbanan reject Remeir and Rabbi Nassan's argument that, well, since now he's healthy, so we should presume he was healthy previously. The Rabbanan say we don't go by that chazakah dehashta, that current status. Rather, we go by the previously known status that this benefactor used to own his property. So now maybe he gave the property away, so the halacha assumes that he did not give it away unless we could prove otherwise. The Gemara notes that ube plukta, this same dispute that we just learned above between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda and Rav Abba Rav Huna, about how to understand the Chacham and the Mishnah as far as what exactly does the recipient have to prove to win the case. The Gemara notes that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish had the same dispute. Rabbi Yochanan and Omar Raya Be'edim. Rabbi Yochanan says, like Rav Huna, that the Chacham and the Mishnah mean the recipient would have to find witnesses that could testify that the benefactor was healthy at the time that he gave this gift. Rav Shimon ben Lakish amar raya b'kiyum hashtar. Rish Lakish, however, argues that all the recipient needs to do is verify the document, and then he'll be able to claim the property, as we explained above in Rav Chisda and Rav Abba Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Yochanan now asks a question on Rish Lakish's opinion. Eisvei Rav Yochanan l'Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rav Yochanan asks him Rish Lakish from the following braisa. Says the Braisa Maisa b'Bnei Brak, once happened in B'Nei Brak, b'Echad Shemachar b'Nichsei Aviv Umeis. Once, somebody's son sold property, meaning land that had belonged to his father. The father had died and left land, and one of these sons went and sold that land. And after selling the land, that son died. At this point, the Gemara assumes that the purchasers had not yet taken physical possession of this land that the son had attempted to sell. But now the purchasers are coming to claim that land that they had purchased to Bo B'nei Mishpacha V'iru. The other members of the family, the other like inheritors of the family, challenged the validity of the sale, Lomar Chatan Hoya B'Shas Misa, with the claim that this son who had sold the land was technically a minor at the time. Not that he was under bar mitzvah, but their claim was that this seller, the son, did not yet have shtei saros. He didn't have two pubic hairs, which is the actual halachic sign of adulthood. Hence, he had no authority to sell the land, so the sale was not valid. That was their claim. They came and they asked Rabbi Akiva, Mahu libotko. They wanted to know, can we settle this dispute by inspecting the corpse of this son? To see if he had shtei saros, if he had the two pubic hairs, and if he did, then the purchasers would win the case, they'd be able to claim the property. Amar lehem, Rabbi Akiva said back to them, first of all, yatem rishayim lenavlo. It's not appropriate to menavel, like to defile this corpse, to go and dig it up, inspect it. Such a thing should be avoided. Ve'od, and furthermore, even if you inspect the corpse and it appears that, you know, he has the simanim, he has the pubic hairs, they cannot be taken as a clear proof. For the reality is, simanim asuyin lishtanos la'achar misa. The body changes after death. And so it might appear that there's simanim, there's pubic hairs, but it could be something else. It could be it was a change that occurred in the corpse after death. So even if you did an examination, it would not provide us with conclusive evidence. Turning to Amid Beis, Rabbi Yochanan now makes his point, which is, Bishlam lididi de'amina raya be'edim. It's very good, according to the way I understand how it works in this kind of a case, where you have a situation that, you know, everybody acknowledges that there was a sale here, just that the liable party attempts to undermine the sale, undermine, you know, that he owes any money by pointing to some issue. Like here he says, he wasn't old enough to do the sale at the time. He wasn't technically an adult. So according to my understanding of the Chachamim's opinion, the halacha here is that the person claiming the money, which here is the purchasers, again, we're understanding that the purchasers did not yet take possession of this land. So therefore, they're going to have to bring witnesses that can verify that indeed the son was authorized to do this sale, that he was a legal adult at the time. So it fits perfectly well with the story. For Kivan, the Amar Lilakucho, Saisu Eidim Velo Ashkechu. Rabbi Kiva therefore ruled that you purchasers are going to have to bring witnesses that can testify he was a full adult at the time. And what happened was they were not able to procure such witnesses. Now you understand the next part of the story, that the purchasers came to Rabbi Akiva asking, okay, can we verify a different way? Can we examine the corpse? So the story makes perfect sense according to my understanding of the Chachamim. Ella lididach, but according to you, Resh Lakish, the Amar Raya Vikiyo Mashtar, you're saying that in such a situation, we don't really doubt the validity of the basic transaction. Once everybody agrees that it was a sale here, there's a document that says the son sold this land. Now, the liable party wants to undermine the sale by claiming that the seller was not a legal adult at the time, and we don't have to pay attention to that. Rather, the only potential way out here for the liable party would be that, you know, who says this is a valid shtar? The only basis it's a valid shtar is based on my agreement that it's a valid shtar. And so that gives the liable party a special power of a pesha asur, who a pesha hitir. Since you're listening to me about validating the shtar, you got to listen to the next part of my speech that I say the seller wasn't qualified to sell the property at the time. So that would be the only hope for the liable party, this family in this case. So according to that, if it's all but the kiyum shtar, lamaluhu lebodko, why did it come to this? Why are they getting desperate and suggesting, let's examine the corpse and determine the halacha that way? None of that should have been necessary. Rather, lekaimu shtarayu velukmu v'nichsi. According to you, all the purchasers have to do here is independently verify the sale document. Once they would do that, that's it. They get the property. We don't have to concern ourselves if the other side claims, no, he wasn't an adult at the time. According to your understanding of the Chachamim, we don't have to listen to such a thing. So the story doesn't seem to make sense according to your opinion. Rish Lakish answers, says, "Mi savard nichsi b'cheskas b'nei mishpacha kaimi." Do you think that the story here was that the property at that moment, at the time they brought the case to Rabbi Akiva, was by the family still, v'ka'osu l'kuchas ma'ari, and the purchasers wanted to take that property based on the sale, and that was the situation of the dispute? Says Rish Lakish, not true. Rather, nichsi b'cheskas l'kuchas kaimi. In fact, what happened there was that the purchasers had already taken physical possession of the property, v'ka'osu b'nei mishpacha v'kama'ari. And the family of the father, after the son had died, were attempting to take the land back from the Lekuchos with the claim that, oh, the son was not a legal adult at the time of the sale. So what is the halacha here? The halacha is, Motzi Mechavel of a right. You're trying to take the property away, claiming it wasn't a good sale. You have the burden of proof. You got to prove that. And obviously, the idea of verifying the document is irrelevant. The opposite, that would work in favor of the purchasers. The only way, rather, for the B'nai Mishpacha to win the case would be to find proof, let's say physical evidence, that the son was not a legal adult at the time. He didn't have the pubic hairs. And so they proposed to Rabbi Akiva to examine the corpse. Rabbi Akiva rejected that offer, and therefore the conclusion was that the purchasers won the case. They kept that property. That's really how the story went, says Reish Lakish, which again fits perfectly with my understanding of the Chachamim. The Gemara says, Achinami Mistavra. The Gemara now argues that Reish Lakish's understanding of the story fits better with the details of the story that we have. Specifically, Midika Amra Lehu. From Rabbi Akiva's response, he said he rejected the possibility of examining the corpse. He said, Yatem Rishayim Lenavlo. Do not defile the corpse of this seller. V'ishtiku, the fact that whoever was asking, was proposing this to Rabbi Akiva, was silent. They silently agreed with Rabbi Akiva's point here. Suggests that it was the B'nai Mishpacha, it was the family members of this son who made the proposal rather than the Lekuchos. It's very good, according to Reish Lakish's understanding of the story, that it was the family members who were making this proposal. That's why they accepted Rabbi Akiva's response without a peep, without any kind of protest, for they readily agreed that they would not want to defile the corpse of their family member. But if it was the other side, if it was the purchasers who were making this proposal, why did they simply silently accept Rabbi Akiva's response on this issue? Rabbi Akiva was saying that, you know, it's not nice, it's defiling the corpse. It would be surprising for the purchasers to simply, you know, silently accept it. Lemerlei, we would expect them to respond to this, that, you know, it's true, we would prefer to be sensitive to the corpse, but the non zuzi avinale, we're talking about a lot of money. You're telling us that because of, you know, being sensitive about it, not at all defiling the corpse, therefore we should lose all this money. Lenavo, lenavo. We can get over that. We'll be able to get over defiling the corpse a little bit if the alternative is, you know, losing all this money. So the Gemara says this supports the understanding that it was actually the B'nai Mishpacha who, you know, they had the burden of proof, so they were making this proposal, and so when Rabbi Akiva said that we don't want to defile the corpse, they instantly accepted that. But the Gemara says that's not such a compelling proof. If that's your proof, that's not so compelling. Because really, I'll tell you that it was the Lekuchos. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan's understanding is correct, and the burden of proof is on the purchasers, and they were proposing, okay, let's examine the corpse. And yet it's understandable that after Rabbi Akiva's response, they said nothing to protest, nothing to try and argue further for their case. But we could say that Hachi Kamalahu, Rabbi Akiva was saying them like this. He was saying, you know, one big argument, not giving them any time to respond. He was saying, Chada, first of all, the Yatem Rishayim Lenavlo. The first thing I'll tell you is that it's not nice, it's defiling the corpse to go and examine it. But that's not the only reason why your proposal will not work. He says, V'yod v'chi tem ruzuzi shak lenavlo. I know you're going to say that, so what? It's not right that because of, you know, sensitivity to the corpse, we should lose all of this money. If you're going to say that, Rabbi Akiva continued, Simanim asuyin lehishtanas lachamisa. There's anyways no point of examining the corpse, for it anyways would not produce any conclusive evidence. Because whatever you find, whatever signs you find of the corpse, it could be that that was a change that occurred after death. And so, there is clearly no point of examining the corpse. It's not going to help your case. And so this aspect of the story does not necessarily prove Reish Lakish's specific understanding of the story. The Gemara now continues to discuss the issue of Modeh B'Shtar Shekasvo. If one of the parties admitted that it's a valid document, do we say that as soon as he validates the document, okay, case closed, it's a valid document, he has to pay, or perhaps he's able to still get in there and use the Pesha Asar to undermine the document? Shalar B'Shimon Ben Lakish is Rabbi Yochanan. Once Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Zusha Shinuya bin Mishnah Zabar Kapara, we learn the following Brisa as part of the compilation of Brisas of Mishnah Zabar Kapara. It says as follows, Hare, Shahaya Ochel Sadeh Ba Becheska Shishalah. Let's say somebody, we'll call him Ruvain, was in a field, eating the crops of the field, and all assumed that this is Ruvain's field. That was always the assumption. One day, Vikara Allah Echad Iror Lomer Shali. One day somebody comes along, let's call him Shimon, and challenges Reuven's ownership of the field. He says, no, it's my field. Get off my field. Vehotzi Zeh. Yes, oh no. Reuven produces his deed of sale, Lomer Shemachartali. It states that you, Shimon, sold me this field on such a date and signed by witnesses. Oh, Shnasatali b'matana. Where the document says that he gave him the field as a gift. Im Amar Eini Makir Bishtar Zeh Me'olam. If Shimon's response is that I've never seen this document in my life, it's a forgery, then the halacha is Yiskayim Hashtar B'chosmav. Reuven will be required to verify the document. Indeed, he has to verify that the signatures are authentic. And once he does that, of course, he can keep the field. The Braisa continues, Im Omar Shtar Pasim Huzeh. If Shimon, on the other hand, says, yes, I recognize this document, but this document doesn't actually establish you as the rightful owner of the field. For this is, in fact, a Shtar Pasim. It's a fake document that says that I sold you this field, but really, you just convinced me to write the document. I trusted you. We were good friends, and you wanted to appear wealthy, so you asked me to write a shtar saying that I'm selling you this field. But it's not really true. I didn't actually sell you this field. Oh, shtar amana shemecharti lach v'lenasata li damim. Or Shimon claims it was a document written on trust, like you promised you would pay me, and I trusted you would pay the money, but you didn't pay me the money, so the sale is not valid. You don't own this field. Raisa says, in this case, if Shimon has witnesses that can verify that that's the true nature of the document, then of course we would follow those witnesses' testimony, but without witnesses to this effect, we're going to go by the shtar. Meaning, once Shimon agrees that he authorized this document, we ignore his claim that, oh, it was shtar pasim or shtar amana. We assume that's not true. Once we know that the signatures are valid, we assume it's a perfectly valid deed of sale or a deed that says that he gifted him this land. So Rish Lakish suggested to Rabbi Yochanan that Lema Rabbi Meir he. Seemingly, this Braisa specifically follows the view of Rabbi Meir, the Amar Mo, the Bishtar Shikosvo, and Etzarech Lekaimo, Velo Rabbanan. The Braisa appears to be compatible only with Rabbi Meir, who says that once the liable party admits to the basic validity of the shtar, that's it, we're not going to listen to anything else he says, and therefore that person will lose. We assume the shtar is perfectly fine. So the Raisa fits perfectly with that, but not with the Rabbanan, who said that no, we go by the principle of a pesha asur, a pesha hitir, that if this is the one, this is the mouth that verified the shtar, then we have to listen to that same mouth that says that for some reason it doesn't mean he owes the money. So seemingly the Rabbanan would not agree with this halacha, and they would rule in favor of Shimon that if he's the one who says it's a good shtar, and he says it's shtar pasim or shtar amana, then Shimon in fact is able to wrest the field from Reuven, and Reuven would have the burden of proof. That's what Rish Lakish proposed to Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Leih, Rabbi Yochanan responds to Rish Lakish, lo, it's not true. She'ani omer, I say, divrei hakol amod v'shtar shikosvo eino tzarech l'kaimo. In my opinion, everybody in Klal Yisrael agrees that once the liable party admits that basically this is a valid shtar, we don't listen to anything else. That's it. Once we know the signatures are valid, then that liable party loses. We go by the shtar. Everybody agrees to that. So everybody agrees to this braisa bar kapara. The Gemara asks, how could Rabbi Yochanan make such a claim? They do argue about this. Rabbi and the Chacham do argue about this. It's not, as we saw above, it's Braisa. The Braisa said that according to Rabbi Meir, Einem Manim Leposlef, witnesses say, yeah, it's a good document, but let's say we were minors at the time we signed, so they're trying to undermine the document. Says Rabbi Meir, they're not believed. Divi Rabbi Meir, V'chachamim Omrim Nemanim. But the Chachamim say they are believed. So meaning, this Braisa seems to be explicitly saying that according to the Chachamim, even if these people were Moda Bishtar Shikasva, the witnesses said, yeah, those are our signatures, but, and they continued with some information that undermines the document, we do have to listen to that. So not like Rabbi Yochanan is saying that, you know, everybody agrees that once it's a good shtar, we don't listen to anything else. We assume the shtar is perfectly fine. Yochanan responds, Merleh. Yochanan says back to Rish Lakish, that case is different. Just because the Chachamim in that Braisa say that where the witnesses themselves question the Shtar's validity, they say, we were minors at the time we signed. So the witnesses are saying this Shtar is not valid. So fine, in that case, the Chacham could say, okay, that's a problem. We have to reckon with that. Ihu kol kamine. Does it logically follow that in a case where the liable party agrees to the document but then says, oh, there's some issue here, really it's a fake, it's a pasim, it's an amana document, is it the same thing to give him credence? He's not the witnesses, he's just the liable party trying to undermine the documents. B'Yochanan says, in such a case where it's the liable party who's trying to use a pesha asar, he's trying to say, well, I made the document valid, so you should have to listen to me when I say there's a problem with the document. In that case, it's Rabbi Yochanan, everybody agrees that we reject the liable party's claim, his argument, and we simply consider the document valid. But Rish Lakish asks on Rabbi Yochanan further, Malay, Rish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, V'halo mishimcha amru, but it was quoted in your name about that case we learned above, the B'nai Brak case where that son had sold his father's land and then died, and there was then a dispute between the family of the father and the son and the purchasers. And the family claimed that even though, yes, they acknowledged the document of sale was valid, this attempted sale did occur, however, the seller was a katan at the time. He wasn't legally an adult. Rabbi Akiva ruled that the family loses. The family cannot win with such a claim. But they said in your name, Rish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, that in your opinion, Yafa Iraru B'nei Mishpacha, the family does have the right to challenge the sale. And specifically, you were quoted as saying that this family can force the purchasers to verify the sale document. Obviously what that means is that you're saying that the family has a pesha asar, that is, they have a right to argue that since we only know that the sale document is valid because we admitted that it's valid, you therefore have to listen to us also with our claim that the seller was not qualified to sell the land at the time. So it forces the purchasers to independently verify the document if they want to keep the property. So this is a situation where it's not the witnesses who are using the pesha asar, who are challenging the document's validity. No, it's the liable party himself, the family, who has to give up the land as a result of their questioning the document, because they're saying, oh, the seller wasn't qualified at the time. Indeed, that forces the purchaser to verify the document. So not like you're saying now that, no, according to everybody, we don't listen to the liable party's claim, and we simply assume the document is valid. According to that, the B'nai Mishpacha would not have a valid argument here. It would simply lose. The purchasers would keep the land. Yochanan responds, Amr Leh. Yochanan says back to Rish Lakish, Zu Elazar Amra. My student Elazar said this statement that you're attributing to me. Ani lo amarti davar zemi. Olam, I never said such a thing. In my opinion, they have zero challenge over here because they're a modish akasva. They admitted the sale document was fine. Now they want to suggest that, well, the seller was a minor at the time of the sale. To that we say, no. Once it's a valid star, we assume there was no such issue, and therefore they lose. That's my opinion. But the Gemara questions further, Am Rabbi Zera, Miyichbor Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Talmid. That's one thing for Rabbi Yochanan to reject the assertion of his student, Rabbi Elazar. Miyichbor Rabbi Yanai Rabbo. Could Rabbi Yochanan reject the assertion made by his Rebbe, Rabbi Yanai? The Yom Rebbe Yanai Merebbe, because Rabbi Yanai said in the name of Rebbe, Mod the Bishtar Shikasva, that Allah is, if this party, the liable party was the one who validated the shtar, and then he says, but there's some problem with it, I don't owe the money, Tzarech Lekaimo, even though he admitted that the document is valid, since he himself is saying there's a problem, therefore the other party, the one who wants to take the money with the document, has to get independent verification of the document. And actually, when Rabbi Yanai taught this halacha, V'yomer le Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan said to his Rabbi Rabbi Yanai, when he said this teaching, Rabbi, lo mishnasenu hizu. Yochanan said, Rabbi, is this halacha not the halacha taught in our Mishnah regarding the case where the benefactor says, yes, I wrote this gift document, but it was a shchiv mira at the time, and now I'm feeling better, so it's not a gift anymore. And the Chachamim in the Mishnah ruled that Hamotzi Mechaveira Lav Araya, the burden of proof is upon the one trying to take away the property, i.e. the recipient has the burden of proof. And Rabbi Yochanan explains what exactly does he have to prove. Ein Raya Lebikiyah Mishtar. All it means is that before the recipient in the document can take the property, he must independently verify the document. which in other words means that even though Moda Bishtar, even though the benefactor agreed that it's a valid shtar, so why can he force the other party to get independent verification? The answer is because we have to listen to the nosin, to the benefactor, because since he's the one who verified the document, we have to listen to the rest of his speech that he says. It doesn't mean I have to give the property because it was a shchiv mira then. So here we have Rabbi Yochanan stating explicitly that if the liable party is the one who agreed to the validity of the shtar, and that he says, but there's a problem here, I don't owe this money because of X reason, and the halacha is, the only way that the other party can win the case is if that party who's trying to collect with the shtar gets independent verification of the shtar, which appears not like Rabbi Yochanan was saying earlier. It seemed to have a contradiction in the view of Rabbi Yochanan. There's also the problem, of course, that on Amud Aleph, the Gemara said that Rabbi Yochanan did not understand the Chacham this way. Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said that the recipient would have to bring witnesses to testify that the benefactor was not ill at the time of the gift. So that's another problem we'll have to deal with. Zera first explains that one thing is for sure here, that we can't understand, as you know, we may have had the impression from Rabbi Yochanan above, that he's saying that universally everybody in the world agrees, that once the liable party agrees that the document is valid, that we don't listen to him anymore, and you don't need to independently verify the document. Clearly, Rabbi Yochanan is not saying that that is the universally held view. So Rabbi Zera puts together a whole different system for how Rabbi Yochanan understands everything here. Baram says, however, the truth is, Nirin Divir Rabbeinu Yosef. The words of Rabbeinu Yosef appear correct, and Rabbi Yochanan agreed with Rabbeinu Yosef. The Rabbeinu Yosef, Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, he said, that Zu, this view in the Mishnah, that says that the burden of proof is on the nosein, on the benefactor. He has to prove he was a shchimira at the time if he wants to keep his property. Is divrei chachamim, is the opinion of the chachamim. And the Gemara will, of course, note immediately that this is not how the views are attributed in the version of our Mishnah. So we'll see about that. But let's see Rabbi Yosef's complete understanding. So he says, the Chachamim say the burden of proof is on the benefactor. He has to prove he was ill at the time if he wants to keep his property. Avo Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, the halacha here is, mo de mishtar shekosvo shetzarech l'kaimo. And since we only know the shtar is valid based on the benefactor's admission that it's valid, and he is telling us that there's a problem, that he was a shchimira at the time, therefore the halacha is, that forces the other side, the recipient of the document, to go and get independent verification of the document. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Zera suggests that Rabbi Yochanan accepts this version of the opinions stated by Rabbeinu Yosef. And according to this, first of all, it means that Rabbi Yochanan above said to Rabbi Yanai, is this not a teaching of our Mishnah? He, in fact, we have to say, was not saying that this is the Chacham's opinion of the Mishnah. Rather, he was corroborating Rabbi Yanai's teaching from Rabbi Meir's view in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir is the one who says that if he, the liable party, the benefactor, is the one who verified the shtar, then we have to reckon with his claim that he was a shchimira at the time. And that will force the other side to verify the document independently. And according to this, when Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish that everybody in the world agrees that once the liable party admits the document is valid, no further action is needed from the other litigant, he can simply collect, we have to say that he didn't mean that literally. Rather, he was saying it's like almost as if the whole world agrees with this. For the Rabbanan legabe Rabbi Meir divrei koli, because of the fact that, of course, the Rabbanan versus Rabbi Meir is the majority opinion against a minority view. And so, in effect, it's like, the whole world, everybody agrees this is the consensus view. And therefore, you could say it's like everybody says this. The Gemara points out the problem with Rabbeinu Yosef's presentation, which is v'ha ipchatnan. Our Mishnah states the opposite. It attributes the views just the opposite of how Rabbeinu Yosef presented things. For the Mishnah says v'chachamim omrim hamotzi mechavero alav araya. In our version of the Mishnah, it says the chachamim say, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, that the recipient has the burden of proof. He'll have to verify the document before he could collect. Just the opposite of how Rabbeinu Yosef is attributing things. The Gemara says, Epoch. Indeed, according to Rabbeinu Yosef, according to this other tradition, we'll have to reverse the views of the Mishnah, switch Rabbeinu with the Chachamim. that again, really, Rabbi Meir is the one who says that the plaintiff will still have to independently verify the documents. The Chacham say night as in once this one was mo, the Bishtar Shekasu, once the liable party, the benefactor, admits it's a valid shtar, that's it. Now the plaintiff, the recipient, can collect the property. But the Gemara asks, Aiva Tanya, we learned the Braisa. Braisa said, Ein nemanim lepos l'di Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said that once the witnesses say this is a valid document, they can't continue and say, oh, but it's not a good document because we were minors at the time. The Chachamim though say, no, we do have to listen to them. So again, the opposite of how Rabbi Yosef is attributing the opinions. The Gemara again says, Epoch. According to Rabbi Yosef, and we're saying Rabbi Yochanan agrees with this, the opinions as presented in the Braisa will have to be reversed as well. The Gemara now questions the other part of this conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan again said that the view you just expressed, that if the liable party in the document says, yes, it's a valid document, but I don't owe the money for some reason, the plaintiff would then have to get independent verification of the document in order to collect. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yanai, yeah, this is the view, now we're saying, of Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir also said that where this person says, yes, it's a valid gift document, but I was a shchimira at the time, the halacha is that the other side, the recipient, will have to independently verify the document. That's what Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah, meant, according again to the reversed opinions. That's what Rabbi Meir meant when he said the burden of proof is on the recipient. What proof? Proof of verifying the document. The problem is that we learned on Amud Aleph today that Rabbi Yochanan Raya Be'edim Kamar. Above we said that Rabbi Yochanan interprets this opinion of the Mishnah just as Rav Huna did, that it means, no, more than that, he doesn't just have to verify the document, he has to bring witnesses that can discredit the benefactor's claim that he was ill at the time. The witnesses will say that, no, he was healthy at the time. That's what they have to bring proof of. So it seems to be a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara answers, Epoch. In light of the clear statement that Rabbi Yochanan said in the conversation with Rabbi Yanai, we'll have to reverse the opinions of that earlier discussion between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, so that it's really Rabbi Yochanan who said that the form of proof that the recipient of the gift document must bring is proof of, you know, verifying the document. That's all he has to prove. But the Gemara points out that once you say that, it's like opening a can of worms, because there was an ensuing conversation between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on this issue. And recall how Rabbi Yochanan attempted a proof to his opinion from the story of the Bnei Mishmacha of Bnei Brak, that son who had sold his father's land, and then the son died, and there was a dispute between the family and the purchasers. The family was claiming he wasn't qualified to make that sale. We agree the document was fine, but he wasn't qualified to sell it because he was technically a minor at the time. I recall how initially the Gemara assumed that the case was that the property was still physically by the family, and the purchasers were trying to take the property away from them. Rabbi Yochanan had said that this story seems like a proof against you, Reish Lakish. So, how do we understand that proof? So earlier when we learned this, the proof was as follows. If you, Reish Lakish, are correct, that all the plaintiff, in a case of a document, has to prove is that the document is fine, then what's this whole business about examining the corpse, trying to find out if he was technically an adult at the time of the sale? Forget that. Just verify the shtar and you're finished. Once they verify the document, it's case closed and they can take their property. So we learned that Rabbi Yochanan's point was, it proves it must be that we actually validate the claim itself. It's nothing to do with the document. Rather, we give credence to this claim that he wasn't an adult at the time. And so it's more than just proving the document. They have to prove that he in fact was an adult at the time. And that's why the purchasers lost the case. But now that we have reversed the opinions, now it's hard to understand what was the proof Rabbi Yochanan was bringing. Now we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan is actually the opinion who says that all the plaintiff has to do is verify the document. So now, what are we going to say in terms of that proof Rabbi Yochanan was bringing from the Bnei Brak story? Must we also switch around the names of that ensuing discussion, that proof from the Bnei Brak story? That would seem a bit excessive, that, you know, we're just epoching everything. But the Gemara says, lo, you actually do not have to reverse the names in the ensuing conversation. But the Gemara explains, continuing to Kuf Nun Hey Amid Aleph, that in fact, Hachi Kamali Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. This is what Rabbi Yochanan was saying. This is his proof against Reish Lakish from the B'nai Brak story. When Rabbi Yochanan brought his proof, he was not assuming, as we originally understood Rabbi Yochanan's proof, that the property was presently by the family, and the purchasers were trying to claim the property from them, and their proposal to Rabbi Akiva was rejected, so that the purchasers lost the case. No. Rabbi Yochanan, in this understanding the proof, assumed that the purchasers ended up winning the case, meaning the property was by them. They had already physically taken the property, and now the family was trying to get it back with their claim. The seller wasn't qualified to sell it at the time. He was still a minor. So Rabbi Yochanan made the following point. He said, Bishlama lididi de amina raya mikiyum mashtar. It's very good, according to me, that in such a situation, if any proof at all is required, the most proof they have to bring, Rav Meir says, in my understanding of the Mishnah, the way the opinions are supposed to be attributed, Rav Meir says that we make the plaintiff, meaning the one who stands to benefit from the document, independently verify the document, and then he wins the case. Okay, if that's all that might be required, I mean, according to the Chamim, even that isn't necessary. But the point is, if that's the way it works, Hainu de Mishkachas la de Nachsi lekuchas lenechasim. That's very good. We perfectly understand why the purchasers won the case there. For again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in this new understanding, according to the Chachamim, they simply win the case. Once you have a valid shtar, the family themselves admitted it's a valid shtar, so the case closed, and the beneficiary of the shtar wins. And the mayor says they have to verify the shtar, so fine, they verified the shtar, and that's why they won the property. Ella lididach the Omar the Raya be'edim, but according to your understanding of the Mishnah, that actually it's the Chacham, the majority opinion, that's stringent on the beneficiary of the document. Not only that, the proof they require from the recipient of the document is nothing less than witnesses. So that means that in order for these purchasers to win the case, they should have been required to produce witnesses that could testify that in fact the seller was qualified, he was an adult at the time of the sale. So the problem is, Eichim Eshkachas la denachsi lekuchos binachasim. How do you find this? And why was the conclusion of the story that the purchasers won? They should not have won according to you. Again, according to you, they should have had to bring witnesses that the seller was an adult at the time. So according to this, we don't have to switch anymore. It's still a proof that Rabbi Yochanan was bringing against Reish Lakish. Just again, that the starting assumption was actually that Lekuchas won the case, and Rabbi Yochanan was saying, according to you, Reish Lakish, it doesn't make sense that the Lekuchas won the case. And the Gemara now explains how Reish Lakish answers this question, how he deflects the proof. Amrlei, Reish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yochanan, says that's not a fair proof. If he says this particular case, a particular challenge that the family, the B'nai Brak family, was bringing against the purchasers, was not a substantial challenge. But Dina Lach, Be'iru, the B'nai Mishpachad Laviru. I agree in that case that the B'nai Mishpacha lost. Why did they lose? Because their whole challenge was not very substantial. From my Qumri, what were they claiming here? Katnaya, they were claiming that the seller was a minor at the time of the sale. But that's simply not a very believable claim. For Chazaka, there's a presumption that Eina Eidim Chosmin al Ashtar Imkein Nase Gadol. There's a strong presumption that witnesses would not sign on a document unless the parties to the document were all qualified to be part of the transaction. They're all legal adults. So in this particular claim, we discredit the defendant's suggestion, their challenge, and we say once they agree to the shtar, that's it, there's nothing to talk about, and therefore the purchasers won that particular case. As opposed to in a case like our Mishnah, where the benefactor's claim is not an outlandish thing at all, he says, I was seriously ill at the time. Of course, witnesses are perfectly allowed to sign on such a document. So there's no specific chazaka against what the defendant is claiming. So in that situation, I understand that according to the Chachamim, the plaintiff indeed would have to prove, you know, not like the defendant's claim. He'd have to prove that he was healthy at the time if the recipient would like to claim the property. The Rishbam says that the practical halacha is emodah b'shtar shukasvo. Once the liable party admits to the shtar's validity, admits this is a valid document, halacha is in a tzarech l'kaimo, the plaintiff does not have to bring further proof, even if the liable party in the document made some claim. He said, yes, it's a valid document, but he gave some additional information to undermine the document. The halacha is that the plaintiff doesn't have to do anything. He could simply collect the money that the document says he's owed.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.